Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kof Mem. Today's daf has been sponsored by the Asa family in memory of Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam. Today's daf is being studied by Ilun Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on the bottom of the Daf of Kufla Mittet. Benotnim Betza B'Misanenet. We learned in our Mishnah that it is permissible on Shabbat to take an egg and put it in a strainer. One of the explanations was that they used to use the egg in order to color the mustard, to make it yellow. So they would stick it through the strainer and the yellow part of the egg would come out, color the mustard, and the white would stay on top. So the Megemara says, Tani Yaakov Korcha, we have a bright up from Yaakov Korcha. The reason why it's not considered borer, or selecting, is because they're only doing it in order to give color to the mustard. So that she says, there is no psolet over here, which means normally in borer, you're taking a psolet from an ochel. Here, everything is considered ochel. It's ochel from ochel. Since you're using the yellow part in order to color the egg, that's considered ochel, and the part on top is also as a din of ochel, so it's not considered selecting. Now she says on top line, limar'eh, for look, shahelmon yafe legavin, because the yellow part of the egg is good for coloring, velo ha'chelmon, hilkach idi v'idi ochelu. Both have a din of ochel. It's not considered ochel and psul, which is, it's not the pshat that one you're eating and one you're not eating. They're both considered edible. You're using this to color. The end can be lit up solet be ochel. Now, the Gemara goes on to a new point, but we just need an introduction for the next subject. Once already the Gemara talked about mustard, so the Gemara is going to discuss now part of the melacha of lash. One of the melachot that's forbidden on Shabbat is to knead. What does kneading mean? Kneading means you're taking, for example, the classic case, flour and water, two separate items, you're putting it together, and you're mixing them to make them one unit, as opposed to, let's say, grinding, which is the exact opposite of lash. Lash takes one unit and makes it into many units. Now, regarding the isud of lash, the Gemara is going to discuss now certain items that the isur of lash is not applicable. Because to be lash something on Shabbat, it has to be something that congeals or becomes one unit in a nice way. Classic example, flour and water. You make dough, it's a solid unit. But certain items, they're called lav bar gibul. They don't congeal, they don't come together in a nice, in a proper way. So therefore, the isur of lash is not so severe regarding them. We are going to discuss first the isur of lash regarding mustard. Now, again, in certain cases where the lash, let's say, would only be rabbinical, some rabbis would be lenient to congeal them in a not normal fashion, meaning if you normally use your hands, they'll say, don't use your hands, use a keli. If you use a keli, they'll tell you, use your hands. That's also in a situation where the lash will only be suited to banan, that'll allow you to do it derech shinui. Now let's analyze the case. Itmar, we have a statement, hardal shelashu me'ereb Shabbat. Hardal that was needed from Ereb Shabbat. Now, we're going to explain this word needed over here to mean that you grounded it up. Obviously, you can't grind the mustard on Shabbat because that would be considered tohen. The reason why they're calling this grinding, that you kneaded it before Shabbat, because mustard has in it natural moisture. And therefore, when you crush it, that moisture is released, so it looks like you are kneading it. But you really didn't knead it. Knead it means where you actually add some more ingredients to it, and you make it a goosh, you make it one unit. So here we're talking about you took mustard, and you ground it from before Shabbat in its natural moisture. So the grinding is out of the way. Now what did you do? Lemachar, on Shabbat the next day, Amar Rav taught, Memacho bekeli, aval lo beyad.
you're allowed to mix it with a candy, with a vessel, but not with your hands. Meaning, because normally, how do you mix the mustard? With your hands. So he says, do it bishinui. So he allows you to do it only with a keli, with an instrument. Amale Shemuel. So Shemuel comes along and says, biyad? What do you mean? You're telling me over here that yad is going to be asur? Atu kol yoma memahule biyad. Are you telling me that all week long the normal way to mix this mustard is with your hand? And that's why you're telling me on your hand it's going to, with your hands is going to be asur ma'achal hamurimu? Is this the food of hamurim? It seems when it came to animal fodder, the way you used to do it was with your hands. So he comes along and says, this is mustard. Isn't that the way to do it with your hands? That you're telling me that only a candy you could use, but you can't use your hands? El amar Shemuel, memacho biyad, ve'eno memacho bekeli. So Shemuel says the exact opposite. He says, dafka, you do it with your hands, and you don't do it bekeli. What's the logic of Shemuel? So Shemuel holds she'en ze darko behol, which means he holds that again it's not the derech to do it like that during the week, and therefore he says you do it with your hands as opposed to the keli. So have a machloket between Rav and Shemuel exactly how one is supposed to do it. Now if you look at the second line in Nashi, where it says ve'eno memacho biyad, according to Rav, he does not want you to do it with your hands. De'memacho le'shapir tafeh. According to Rav, he's analyzing which does a better job of congealing it and bringing it together. So he held that doing it with your hand does a better job. And therefore he said do it with a keli. Rav's looking what's more effective. So since the hand does a better job, Rav says do it with a keli. Shemuel says, I go with derech and not derech. Since it's the derech during the week to use a keli, so therefore I tell you on Shabbat you have to do it bishinui. I don't care if it's better. It might do a better job, but since it's not the normal way to do it during the week like that, so therefore do it with your hand. So that's the machlok between Rav and Shemuel. Itmar, Rabbi Eliezer omer, hadze v'hadze asur. Rabbi Eliezer says, everything's asur, yad and keli. Again, he'll hold it is considered lash. In any fashion. The Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Ehadze Behadze Mutar. And Rabbi Yohanan comes along and says, both ways are permissible. So it comes that you have four shitot over here. Rav says, use a keli. Shemuel says, use your yad. Another rabbi says, everything asur, that's to be the Ezer. And Rabbi Yohanan comes along and says, everything is mutar. Abaye v'Rava damni tarvayu. Abaye v'Rava both came along and said, "En halacha ke Rabbi Yohanan." And one thing is clear: halacha does not follow Rabbi Yohanan that says that yad and keli is mutar. Kam Rabbi Yohanan b'shitated Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar. But what ended up happening is Rabbi Yohanan retracted, and now he adopted the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. So he went from saying zeh v'zeh mutar to come along to say zeh v'zeh asur. Kam Rabbi Elazar b'shitated Shmuel. And Rabbi Elazar retracted and he adopted the opinion of Shmuel that yad mutar, keli asur. Now Abaye v'Rava damri tarvayu, once Rabbi Yohanan retracted, Abaye and Rava came along and said, halakha ki Rabbi Yohanan. Halakha will follow Rabbi Yohanan that what? Zeh v'zeh asur. Why? Because it will be considered, according to that opinion, lash. When you're adding, let's say, water to it, now you're mixing it in any fashion, it's considered you're kneading it. That's the word kneading. And therefore, it's going to be asur. Imed Abaye, the nurse of Abaye, avdale, made for Abaye on Shabbat, let's say a mixture of mustard, v'lo achal. He didn't eat it. Again, he held. Like Rabbi Yohanan, after he retracted, that said, Zeh v'zeh asur, so we didn't eat from it. The bitu de Zaira, the wife of Zaira, avda lil Rav Chiya bar Asher, velo achil. The wife of Zaira made for Rav Chiya bar Asher a mixture of mustard on Shabbat, and he didn't eat it. Amarle, Amrale. So she told him, Lerabach avidi leve achal.
For your rabbi, meaning my husband Zairi, I make it for him and he eats it.
Ve'at lo achalt.
Well, you're mahmir, more mahmir than your rabbi. Your rabbi holds to eat it, and you don't eat it.
Amar Rav Bar Sheva, haba ke'imna kemei de Ravina. Says what time I was in front of Ravina, ubahashele b'shufta de tumah ve'achal.
I mixed the mustard with the center of the garlic, and he ate it. Meaning, he didn't use his hand, and he didn't use a keli, but he did it in a total shinui. He took the center of the garlic somehow, and he used it as a mixer. Oh, when he did such a shinui, then he allowed himself to eat it.
Ba'amar mor zutra, conclusion of this piece. Le'til cheta kechol hanish mateta. The halakha does not follow any of the halakhot that we mentioned. Ela ki had itmar. But like we just said now, hardas shelashu me'arev Shabbat.
Mustard that we're learning again, you grounded it before Shabbat.
Memachar memacho. The next day you could mix it. Ben beyad, ben bekeli.
You can mix it no matter how you want.
Venoten letochot vash. You could also add honey to it. The only thing you can't do, velo yitrof.
You're not allowed to beat it. Because beating it, that's considered kneading mustard. Beating means you do it hard and fast. Anything less than beating it is not going to be considered kneading by the mustard.
Ela ma'arev.
If you're able just to add some more ingredients, let's say some water, some honey, and you have no problem. And that's the way really Shulchan Aruch comes out also, that when it comes to making the mustard, so long as you grinded it from before Shabbat, and you want to add some more ingredients, for example, honey, you could mix it lightly, but you cannot beat it. Because these items, as we're understanding, really do not congeal well anyway. And therefore, kneading it is only going to be when you beat it strongly. Shechlaim. Now we go to another item that's called shechlaim, which is cress. Shishahakan me'arev Shabbat. Again, you grinded them up from before Shabbat. Lemaha noten letochan shemen vechomets. On Shabbat, you're allowed to add, oil and vinegar. Umamshich letochan amita. And you can also add mint into the crust. They used to add mint into it. Velo yitrof. Again, you cannot beat it. Ela me'arev. So we have a second item that the only way to knead it is by actually mixing it. Beating it in a strong way. However, just adding ingredients and mixing it lightly, no problem. That is called the shechlaim. Third item, shum shirisko me'arev Shabbat. That's garlic that you grinded it before Shabbat. Lemahar noten letocho ful ugrisin. You're able to add some beans into the mixture. Velo yishok. Again, of course, you can't grind them on Shabbat. Ela me'arev. You're just able to lightly mix them. Umamshich et amita letochan. And you can also add amita into the mixture. We said that is the mint. The Gemara says, my amita, ninya. In Arabic they say na'na. Na'na is the mint leaf. Amar Abaye, shma'mi, now we can learn from this Gemara, hay ninya me'alya letachle. That it is a good recipe to add mint with the cress. Because we see that they're saying you add the mint in it. So bottom line, we come out with our Gemara. Three items that the only way to lash them is by making tiruf. And what are those three items? The hardal, the shechlaim, and the shum. All these items that you grinded them before Shabbat, you can add ingredients to them on Shabbat, you can even mix them with your hand, you can mix them with a keli, because these items, as we explained, really do not congeal well. However, to make tiruf, that is going to be asur, lo yitrof. Comes the Gemara, continues, Tanu Rabbanan. Actually, we learned it on Mishnah. Osin anumalin b'Shabbat. It is permissible to make a cup of a drink called anumalin on Shabbat. Tanu Rabbanan, osin anumalin b'Shabbat. You're allowed to make the drink called anumalin on Shabbat. Ve'en osin aluntit. But you're not allowed to make the drink that's called aluntit. Ve'ezuhi anumalin, ve'ezuhi aluntit. What are these drinks? What exactly is anumalin and what exactly is aluntit? Anumalin, yayin udvash upilpilin. It's a mixture of wine, honey, and pepper. Aluntit, yayin yashan, old wine, umayim tzilulin, clear water, ve'aparsemon, and balsam.
De'avde, and why do they make such a drink? Lebe masuta, for somebody that went to the bathhouse and he's hot, lemekar, in order to cool himself off. So therefore they did not want you to make that item on Shabbat, because it's more of a medicinal item, and therefore they did not want you to make the aluntit on Shabbat. Even the anumalin, they only allowed you to make it in small measures, because it seems it was a very difficult process to make it, and they didn't want you to overexert yourself making more than a cup. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Zimnach Hada, one time, Alit Batar Mor Ugba Lebebareh, I followed Mor Ugba into the bathhouse. When we came out, Atai, we came Ashkiyan Hamra. They gave me the drink wine. Now the Maharsha learns that this wine over here was actually Aluntit, was this cup that causes a person to get cool after he comes out of the bathhouse. Hadkasa. They gave me one cup. I felt it from the hair on my head until the nails on my feet, which means it cooled my whole body from top to bottom. And if they would have gave me to drink a second cup, I would have gotten scared. Maybe they would have taken away from my zikhuyot in Olam Abba, because the second cup would have been dangerous for me. Because already the first cup cooled me so much, if I would have drank it a second cup, it would have been sakana, it would have been danger. And if I would have got saved, they would have taken away from my zechuyot and olam haba the fact that I saved my life. The Gemara says, what do you mean, v'hamur ogba deshati kol yoma? What do you mean? Mor Ogba used to drink this aluntit every single day. Well, it doesn't sound like it's so dangerous. Shari Mor Ogba did dashbe. Yeah, Mor Ogba is different because he got used to it. If you get used to it, so it's not a problem. Comes the Gemara and continues. Mishnah. En shorin et acheltit beposhnim. Now we're discussing a type of herb that's called heltit. It's a very sharp tasting herb. So it says in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to take the heltit and soak it in poshnin. Poshnin would be warm water. The Rashi tells us, we're going to learn, that the reason it's going to be asur is because it seems it's going to be medicinal, and therefore they do not want you to soak it in the water. Aval noten netoch ha-chometz. However, you're allowed to soak it or place it in the vinegar and use it as a condiment, where they would stick the hentit in vinegar, take their bread, and dip it in the mixture and eat it. Ve'en shorin et ha-karshinin. You're not allowed to float the karshinim. Karshinim was like a fodder that they used to use for animals. Now they used to have a chaff on it. So how do they used to want to separate the chaff? They would drop it in water and the chaff would float to the top. So that would be a form of selecting. It would be a form of borer. So the Mishnah is telling you, you're not allowed to soak or float the karshinin in water. Velo shafin otam. Nor are you allowed to rub them against your hands, again in order to get the psolet, in order to come off. Okay, so we're very ma'mir by this item. Aval noten letocha kevara. You're allowed to put this animal fodder in a sieve, or letocha kalkala. Now, even though when you put it in these type of sieves or these type of baskets, some of the chaff is going to fall out, since it's not inevitable, and that is not your kavanah, it seems you're just using the basket in order to transport it, so we all like Rabbi Shimon that says, davar she'en mitkaven mutar, especially in this case here where it's not a psik nesheh, where it's not going to happen inevitably, so therefore it's mutar. Next case, en kovrin et ateven bekevara. You're not allowed to take teven. Teven would be like a straw. Okay, now it seems the straw has also a chaff to it. It's called the motz. It's not the good part. The animals don't eat that part. So it says you're not allowed to take the straw and put it in a kevara. Kevara would be a a sieve, a sifter, ולא יתננו על גבי מקום גבוה בשביל שירד המוץ.
Nor are you allowed to take it, this, let's say, sieve, and put the straw in it, and put it in a high place, in order that the chaff will fall out from the high place, and by that you are going to be sifting it.
אבל נוטלו בקברה ונותן לתוך האבוס.
You're allowed to take the straw and put it in the basket, or the sifter, and use it to transport it, to bring it to the trough, in order to feed it to the animal. Now, even though on the way that you're transporting it, some chaff might fall out, again, we hold like Rabbi Shimon, davar she'en mitkaven mutar, and this is not inevitable, it's not a psikresh, so therefore, if you're using to transport from the house, let's say, to the trough to feed it to the animals, mutar. The cases of isur are where you're intending to actually sift it, so therefore, you brought it to the top of the roof because you want the goats to fall out and blow away in the wind, let's say. So that's going to be asur. So comes the Gemara and says, Ibaya lehu shara mai. We go back to the first din in the Mishnah. You took this heltit, this sharp herb, and you soaked it in warm water. So the Gemara wants to know, well, what's the isur over? If you soaked it in warm water, what's the din? Targema Rav Adan Narsha'a Kamed Rav Yosef Shara Hayav Hatat. So he comes along and says, if you soaked it, you're guilty. Hayav hatat in the Torah. Amar Abaye, so Abaye comes along and says, impossible. Ela me'ata, you're going to tell me, shara umsa b'maya, haken amed mehayev? Are you going to tell me if you take a raw piece of meat on Shabbat, and you soak it in water, are you going to be hayav hatat? There is no reason why, if you take a raw piece of meat and drop it in water, you should be hayav hatat. Abaye is trying to say, just as there's no logic to say that putting a raw piece of meat in water, there should be any hayav hatat, why should you say hayav hatat for dropping hiltit in warm water? It doesn't make sense. So he says, Ela amar Abaye midrabanan. The reason why it's asur to put the hiltit in the water is midrabanan. Shelo yaaseh. The Gemara gives a new reason. Ovdin dehol. We don't want you to do a weekday item. Now, the Bi'ur Halakha in his Pirush, the Hafetz Chaim writes like this. Really the Isur of it is because when you put the Chaltit in the warm water, they used it medicinally. And you're not allowed to make a medicinal concoction on Shabbat. So what is the Gemara bringing a new reason over here? Of the whole, just tell me the real reason. You're not allowed to make a medicine concoction on Shabbat. So he comes along, the Bi'ur Halakha, and says, the Hiddush is, even if a guy, let's say, wanted to make this item to drink it, he wanted to make this concoction, not for medicinal reason, still it's going to be asur because of Ovdin Dehol, because this is a weekday item, and therefore it may lead to the isur of making it for medicine. So there's a nafka mina between the reasons. If a guy's making it for medicinal reasons, pashut it's asur. Even if he's doing it for drinking reasons, it's still going to be asur as well. So ask the question to Rabbi Yanai. How about putting the hatit in cold water? You told me you can't put it in warm water, but what about cold water? Amar le asur. He told them asur. That's the way Rabbi Yanai answered. So he comes along and says, Rabbi Yohanan, v'ha'anan tenan en churin et tachaltit beposhrin. What do you mean? Our Mishnah only said it's forbidden to soak it in warm water. Ha betzonen mutar. But in cold water, mutar. So he asked Rabbi Yanai a question. Rabbi Yanai answered the question, asur. Rabbi Yohanan hit him back and said, how could you tell me asur? The Mishnah's mashma, mutar. So Ambar Leis, Rabbi Yanai says, Imken, ma ben li velach. Now what's the difference between me and you? Which is what he was trying to say to Rabbi Yanai, is you asked me a question. You don't think I knew the Mishnah? Since you asked me a question, I obviously knew the Mishnah, and I answered you still, Asur. And then when I tell you Asur, you come along and tell me, oh, what about the Mishnah? I said, what's the difference between me and you? You think I didn't know the Mishnah when you're asking me? Obviously, if I gave a different answer, I knew the Mishnah to have a reconciliation. And what's the reconciliation? Matnitin yechida ahi. The Mishnah is following a singular opinion. A And therefore we do not follow the ruling of our Mishnah. How do we know the Mishnah is following a singular opinion? The Tanya. En shurin itachaltit. Lo behamin velo besonen. That's Tanakama's opinion, which is the majority opinion. That what? You don't soak it not in warm water, not in cold water. Be Yoseh Omer, behamin asur besonen mutar. Rabbi Yoseh is the one that made a difference between cold and hot. So he's the author of Al Mishnah. That means Al Mishnah is following Da'at Yahid. So therefore Rabbi Yanai said, what do you want from me? I knew the Mishnah. I'm not posek like the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is going like Shitat. Rabbi Yoseh, I'm following Shitat. Tanakama. That's why I told you, cold is mutar. So the Gemara says, okay, what is the medicinal value of taking hiltit and soaking it in water? Kebara says, liyukra deliba, for heartache. If a person has heart trouble, so this will cure it. Ravacha bar Yosef chash biyukra deliba. Kebara says a story of Ravacha bar Yosef. He had heart pain or trouble. So it says, chash biyukra deliba. Atal kemed mor ogba. So he came in front of mor ogba. Amar le, so he told him, zil shate tiltat. Drink 3 measures of hiltit. Now what measure is it? He says tikle. Now she says tikle is a gold coin. So he told him drink 3 measures, meaning the weight of 3 gold coins of hiltit in this mixture. Bitlata yome, in 3 consecutive days. So he gave a prescription. Take a hiltit, a certain dosage, in 3 days. Azal, so he went. Ishte hamsha b'Shabbat. So he drank the first dosage on Thursday. Uma'ale Shabbat. And the second dosage he took on Friday. Oh, now came Shabbat. Now already has a dilemma. Medicine, Shabbat, third day. What do you do? Litzafra in the morning of Shabbat. Azal sha'al b'midrasha. So he went to the yeshiva. He went to the bet midrash. Amru le tana debe Rav Adda v'amida tana debe mori bar Rav Adda shote adam kav o kabayim ve'enu choshesh. They told him you can drink as much as you want of these items over here. It's not an issue. It seems people would drink this item also for drinking purposes. So I told him, what's your problem? You want to go drink it? Go drink it. So he said, no. Amar lehu lishtot lo kamibayali. My issue is not to drink it. I know if it's ready made, you can drink it because people drink it. I want to know if you can make the concoction. Because normally the Mishnah says you can't make the concoction on Shabbat. The only question is, I've been taking it from already Thursday. I'm on the medicine already. So therefore I want to know, am I allowed to, you know, to make the concoction on Shabbat? Amar Rav Chaya bar Rabin, he says, listen, bididi ava obda, a story happened to me, v'atay she'elteh Rav Adda bar Ahaba, v'lo hava b'yadeh. He didn't know the answer to the question. Atay she'elteh Rav Huna, so I went to answer Rav Huna this question, v'amar achi ka'amar Rav, shore besonen, you can soak it in cold water. Obviously you can't get hot water on Shabbat, so soak it in cold water, umaniyah b'hamma, and just let it warm up in the sun, and then you have no problem. So he told him, really, you can do it. So the Gemara says, Keman deshare. He must be following Rabbi Yoseh. We learned Rabbi Yoseh was the one that allowed cold. So you tell me that Huna must have been taking the lead, the Da'at Yachid Rabbi Yoseh, to let you soak it in cold water. Gemara says, no. Afidu leman de'asar. Even according to the rabbis, that normally tell you can't soak hiltit in cold water. In this case, it's different. Why? When did they forbid you to soak it in water? When you're not taking it as medicine from before Shabbat. If you didn't stop taking it, so they're not going to tell you to now, they're not going to allow you to soak it in cold water. Since already you started taking it from Thursday. And Friday, if he wouldn't finish the dosage, it would be dangerous. So you see over here, the Hakamim were lenient, obviously. Once you started it, you had to finish the proper dosage of it. So therefore they would tell you, normally you would not be allowed, let's say, to take it, or actually make the concoction on Shabbat. But here where you started already from Thursday, you took it on Friday, already we'll let you take it on Shabbat as well. And we'll let you even make it on Shabbat. You know what that tells a story? Mistamech ve'azil Ravacha bar Yosef. Ravacha bar Yosef was walking and leaning a katfed Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak on the shoulders of Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak bar Achte, his nephew. It seems that Ravacha bar Yosef was old, he couldn't walk good, so he was leaning on his nephew and they were walking together. Amar le, so he told him, ki matina le lebe Rav Safra, when you get to the house of Rav Safra, Ailana, bring me in. He had to ask him a question. So he says, walk me into the house of Rav Safra. Ki matu, when they got there, Aile. So they brought him in. Now Rav Habar Yosef is going to ask Rav Safra a question. Ba'amine. So he asked him a question. Ma'u le keskuse ketinuta b'shabeta. Are you allowed to take a ketorah, which we'll explain it to be, let's say, a shirt, right? It was made out of linen, the cloak, and it was freshly laundered. So the question is, are you allowed to rub it between your hands? Now, why would they rub it? When you take out the linen garment from the cleaners, it's hard. So they want to make it soft. So he wanted to know, on Shabbat, am I allowed to take the linen garment and rub it against each other to soften it up? Well, what's the question? So Gemara says, Lerakuche ketuntak amechaven v'shapir dameh. Do you say that the main reason why people do it is to soften it up, and therefore no problem? Or dilma le'elude hevrak amechaven v'asir. Or maybe the main reason why people do it is in order to whiten it. It seems when you rub it against each other, it brings out a shine. And we know whitening garments on Shabbat is milaben. That would be asud. So he's asking the rabbi, when people do this, do you assume that the reason why they're doing it is for the softening and it's mutar? Or do you say, no, it's for the whitening and it's going to be asud? Amar le lerakuche kamechaven v'shapir dameh. He tells them, there's no problem. The main reason why they're doing it is to soften, and therefore, mutar. Kinafak, when the rabbi left, ata, it seems they came, maybe his nephew came, amar le, mai ba'a mormine. What was the question you asked Rav Safra? They wanted to know, what was the she'ela? So he says, amar le ba'a mine, I asked him, ma'u le kaskuse ketinita b'shabeta. I wanted to know if you're allowed to rub the garment against each other on Shabbat. Ve'amar li shapir dameh. And he told me, mutar. So they tell the rabbi, v'tiv'e le lemor. Why didn't you ask him sudra? Why didn't you ask him a question by the sudar? Sudar was like the kerchief that the rabbi used to wear on the head. It was like the hat, which was also a garment, which means you could have asked him a more practical case of the sudar. So he says, sudra lo kame ba'ali. I didn't have a question by a sudar. Why? De ba'e me Rav Huna upashitli. Because I asked that already to Rav Huna at a different time, and he solved me that question. So the Gemara says, well, v'tifshot le lemor me sudra. Whatever he answered you by sudra, that should be the same application by the kitunuta. Which means you asked on one garment, so apply whatever answer they told you by the sudar, apply it to the ketonet. So the Gemara says, "Amale hatam mi'ze ki elude hevra." Now it's clear by the sudar they told me asur, because the clear kavana by a sudar, you're doing it in order to whiten it. So therefore, we know that's asur. Hacha lo mi'ze ki elude hevra. But here, I thought maybe it's not so, your kavanah is not so much to whiten it. And I was right. Because Rav Safra answered me, what? That indeed it's mutah. So there was, I had no question to provide the sudar, because I got my answer that, what? It's asud. So he says, how come you didn't apply the answer of sudar to the ketoret? Because I felt they were different. So I don't know, maybe if people maybe don't do the ketoret specifically with intention to whiten it. And turns out he was right, because Rav Safra really told him, by the ketoret it is permissible in order to soften it. Amar Rav Chasda, hay ketinuta. Rav Chasda said, this ketoret, meshalfe ledide mekanya share. On Shabbat, let's say they placed this shirt on a wooden rod. Yeah, they will place it on the rod. Okay? Now you want to take the shirt off. So the Gemara says it is permissible to take the shirt off the rod, but you can't take the rod from the shirt. Kanya mimena asur. So just take the shirt off without moving the rods. Why? Because we're talking about rods that are mukseh. They weren't made specifically as a mannequin to hold the shirt. These rods are really just pieces of wood. They're not considered kelim, and their primary function is for fuel. Happened to be for Shabbat. You didn't designate them either. You just put your shirt over them. So since they're not considered a keli, it's considered mukseh. So they're telling you the only way to get the shirt off is you got to take the shirt off the pieces of wood, the rods, but you can't take the rod from the shirt because then you'll be moving mukseh. Now obviously you put it on there because it was wet from before Shabbat, so you want to just dry it. But the poskim point out that obviously it had to be somewhat dry going into Shabbat, because if it was soaking wet going into Shabbat, that garment remains mukseh going into Shabbat, because since it wasn't usable going into Shabbat, it remains mukseh. So it's about a garment that already is dry, and it's on a mukseh rod. Take the shirt from the rod, and not the rod from the shirt. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abba, V'im kli kivayu mutar. If he placed it on the weaver's rods, which those are considered kelim, then already it's considered, let's say, a klisha melachto li'isur. So a klisha melachto li'isur, which is a vessel whose primary function is isur for weaving, then you can even move the rod. Because already you need the place. You need the place that's under the rod, which is sorek mekomo, which you could move it in order to take the garment. In the first case, they're not considered kelim. In the second case, it's considered a keli. Next case, amar afazda. Hai kishta di yarka. You have a bunch of vegetables or a bunch of herbs. If it's worthy to feed to animals, shari little tule. So it's not mukseh, as we learned earlier. So long as it's edible to feed to animals, so it's not going to have a status of mukseh. Ve'ila asir. Okay, and if it's not edible to the animals, and obviously we're talking about it's not edible for human beings either, so then it's going to be mukseh. Amar ef haya bar asir, amar ef. Hay talyad de bisra. You have a rope that you're hanging from it, meat. Why are you hanging the meat? That she says it's salted meat that you're hanging in order to dry. You want to dry the meat. Shari l'taltule. So that she learns you can move the meat. Why? Because it's fit for human consumption. Non-mukseh. Dechavre asir. However, fish that you're hanging up, kavre is fish, so he says that's going to be mukseh. Because it's not fit for human consumption. In those days they did not eat raw fish, and therefore it's asur. Now the Tosafot on the earlier Daf Kuf Lamid Tet, there's a Tosafot on this piece over here. It's out of order. Tosafot says, what do you mean? We know this already from the previous Perakim about raw fish and raw meat. We discussed it. So he learns that the issue over here has nothing to do with the meat. The issue over here has to do with the string. The question is the string that the meat is hanging on it mukseh or not? So he says, the string that the meat's hanging on it is not mukseh. However, the string that the fish is hanging on is mukseh. Why? The fish string, it smells. And therefore you don't use it over again, and therefore it's ma'us. And therefore you cannot move the string on Shabbat. However, he says, the string that you're hanging the meat, since you use it over again, it has a status of a keli, and therefore it's permissible to move it on Shabbat. So we have a great mahalokat between Rashi and Tosfot. Are we discussing the fish and meat, or are we discussing the string? That she learns the issue is the meat is mukseh, meat is non-mukseh, and the fish is. Tosfot discussing the string of the meat is considered a keli because you use it over and over again, therefore it's non-mukseh. Well, the fish string stinks, and it's mukseh mahmat mi'us, and therefore it is mukseh. Amar Rav Katina. Rav Katina taught, Ha'omed be'emsa amita. If a person stands in the middle of a bed, meaning we're talking about a bed of a married couple, and he goes and stands on that bed that belongs to a married couple, ki'ilu omed b'kirisa shel isha, it's as if you're standing on the woman's belly, which means you're going to bring yourself to hidhur, because you're standing on a bed that, you know, married people sleep on. So if a person stands on such a bed, they're considering it as if you're standing on the lady itself, because it's going to bring two bad thoughts. The Gemara says, ve'lav miltahi. But that's not acceptable. That's not so. Which means it's okay if a person would stand on the bed. Obviously we're talking about where they're not there. So he's telling you that what? That it's not an issue. Not to be concerned about. Now Rav Chisda is going to tell us 13 pieces of advice to young scholars. Okay? V'amar Rav Chisda. Bar Berav. Number one. Bar Berav is a young scholar. Dezavin Yarka. He's going to the marketplace to buy vegetables. Lizbin Arika. Go buy the long herbs. Okay? Why should you buy the long herbs? Kisha ki kisha. Because all the bundles are the same. Meaning, the width of the bundles of herbs are all the same. So where are you going to make your profit? On the length. Understand? All the bundles are the same. Kisha ki kisha. Each bundle is the same width. So where are you going to make your profit? On the land. The urka mimela. It's the land where you're going to get your extra. Second piece of advice. Barberav, there's a bin kanya. Again, you're buying kanya, you're buying, let's say, a bundle of reeds or wood. There's bin arika. Again, buy the long pieces. Tuna ki tuna. Again, each bundle is the same. The width of each bundle, they make the same. The urka mimela. Your profit's going to be where? On the length. So try to get the longer pieces. Okay, he's trying to save the hakamim money. Ve'amar Rav Chisda, bar be'rav, te'lo nefisha le'rifta. Atamid ha'chab that does not have enough bread, let's say, to eat. Lo likul yarka. Don't eat vegetables. Why? Mishum de'garir. Because the vegetables makes you hungry. And if you don't have bread to satiate it, so therefore it's going to be counterproductive. Ve'amar Rav Chisda, ana lo ba'aniyuti achle yarka. He said, Rav Chisda said, when I was poor, I did not eat vegetables. Again, because he didn't have bread to satiate himself. And when I was wealthy, I didn't have vegetables either. Now, he explains. When I was poor, I didn't have vegetables because it caused you to get hungry. I didn't have bread. When I was rich, because I said to myself, instead of filling myself up with vegetables, I can afford to buy meat and fish. And therefore, why should I waste my appetite on the vegetables? When I was rich, I also didn't have vegetables. I ended up eating meat and fish. The Arizal has a deep explanation to this piece of the Gemara over here. And he says that we're talking about over here when certain neshamot that need to be fixed sometimes can come back down into food. And the real tikkun is they come down in meat and fish. However, it takes a big talmid chacham in order to know the right kavanot to extract the neshamot from the food. So therefore, he came along and said, when I was poor, meaning when I was poor in Torah, when I did not yet know the Kevanot, I didn't have even Yirakot. I didn't even know how to extract the Neshamot from the easy ones, from the Yirakot. He says, but when I became rich, meaning rich in Torah, then I said, why should I just work on the easy stuff of taking out the Neshamot from the Yirakot? I'll already make the tikkun on the basar and the dagim. So you see, he wasn't discussing his menu over here. He was discussing the lofty things behind the food, you know, making the proper tikkun. V'amar Rav Chisda, bar be'rav de'lo nafisha le'rifta. If a tamid acham does not have enough bread, lo libsa besu'e. So he shouldn't be the one that makes the hamotzi. As we learned about Sikhet Berachot, the Gadol is the one that makes the hamotzi, let's say, right? And he has to give pieces of bread, b'ayin yafan, a generous portion to everybody around the table. So just saying, you know, even if you're the biggest rabbi there, but if you don't have enough bread, you shouldn't be the boseya, because you're not going to be able to give generous portions to the people around. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Berab, Tamid Hakam, Delo Nafisha Lelifta Lo Lipsa. Why? My tama. What's the reason? Delo avid be'ayin yafa. Because he's not going to give it be'ayin yafa. Now, actually, this statement was written twice. So that she says the first statement that said he shouldn't eat it, meaning that he shouldn't eat small pieces. If you have a small amount of bread, don't eat a little piece now, because you're not going to satiate yourself. His first advice was what? Store it, save it till you have a substantial amount. After you have a substantial amount, then eat it in one shot so you can break your hunger. Second rule, if you don't have enough, don't be the boseya, because you're not going to be able to give it b'ayin yafa. So he's saying two rules. Number one, personally, don't eat it in small increments. Save it. And when you're the boseya, if you're the boseya, if you don't have enough, refuse to do it, because you cannot give them generously. Amar Chazdan, Amar Ikara. Amar Chazdan said, originally, lo ava batzarna. I would not make bitziah, eat the bread, until I stuck my hand in the basket, and I found that there was enough bread in the basket for me to eat and satiate myself. I mean, before he ate, he would check the basket to make sure that there was enough food for him to eat. Otherwise, he would not eat the bread. If a person can eat barley bread, he's happy with it. I mean, he's able to eat barley bread. And he spends extra money, and he goes and buys wheat bread. It's considered wasting money. You shouldn't do such a thing. You can eat the cheaper bread. What do you have to go spend for the more expensive? If a guy can drink beer, and instead he goes and spends extra money in order to buy wine, over mishum bal tashchit. That's also considered destroying your money. Haram. The Gemara then comes out velav miltahi. It's not so in both cases. Bal tashchit de gufa adif. Meaning, it's more important to take care of your body. Wheat bread is healthier than barley bread, and wine is healthier than beer. And therefore, we're more concerned about destroying your body than destroying your money. And therefore, it's permissible to buy the more expensive bread and the more expensive wine, because it's healthy for the body. There's no bal tashchit. We're more concerned about your health. If a Tamid Hakam does not have oil, in the olden days, before Mayim Aharonim, at the end of the meal, they used to take oil in order to take the residue of the food off their hands. But if he doesn't have oil, Nimshe b'mayad haritze, let him wash his hands with the water that's stagnant in a pond that has the green algae. That green algae is like oily, and let him wash his hands with that, and that'll serve like the oil. Damar Rav Chisda bar Berav dezabin umsa. A Tamid Hakam that obviously is limited in funds, and he wants to buy a piece of meat. So the Gemara says, lizbin unka. Let him buy the neck. The eat bet latamine bisra. Because there's three tasty pieces in the neck. You'll taste three different pieces of meat. That she says, the fat, you have the lean, and you also have the gid. You have the vein of the neck, which is also tasty. So you get your money's worth. You get three pieces or three tastes for the price of one. If a Tamid Hakam is buying a linen garment, lizban midinehar abba. First, he's giving him the place where to buy it from. Buy it from Nehar Abba. Over there, the linen is very good. Ve'nehavra kol talthin yomim. And clean it every 30 days. Wash it every 30 days. Whiten it. Demifatya le teresar yarche shata. And it'll fill 12 months, which means it'll last 12 months. If you buy it from this place, and you clean it every 30 days, I'm telling you, it'll last you for 12 months. Ve'ana arba. He says, I'll guarantee it. So the Gemara says, my kitinuta, why do they call a linen shirt kitunita? So the Gemara says, kitana'a, which literally means a good group. I mean, based on the way a person dresses, socially, he's able to be with you know, different types of people. So therefore they call it ketonet itana'a. It makes him eligible to be with a nice group, with a nice group of people. Hey, Tamir Hakam, lo litiv atzifta chadta. He should not sit on a new mat that's made of hemp, the mechalya maneh, because it's going to destroy his clothes. It seems the hemp had a certain moisture, and therefore, when you sit on a new mat, the moisture is going to ruin his garments. So therefore, don't sit on it. Amar v'chazda bar berav lo lishdar maneh leushpizeh lechaveh. If a Tamir Hakam is staying by, let's say, a place, and the lady, they call her a pundakit, she's, let's say, the innkeeper. So the Gemara is saying, a Tamir Hakam should not give his clothes to the innkeeper to wash. Why? Delav ora hara'a. It's not derech eretz. Dilma chaze bemide ve'atel migniya. Maybe she's going to see something on the garment, and she's going to come to be repulsed from the Tamir Hakam. For example, if he has a stain of zera, or semen, let's say, on his garment, it's not mechubad, it's a shame for the Torah. And therefore she's going to be repulsed, and it's going to be a bad impression for the Torah. So don't give the laundry to the innkeeper, do it yourself. Amaru Rav Chazdan lebinte. Rav Chazdan now gave advice to his daughters. And the advice was as follows. Number one, Tehevet Siniatan Ba'apeh Gablaichu. You have to be modest in front of your husbands. Don't eat bread in front of your husbands, because it's going to maybe repulse the husband. Sometimes if the lady eats a lot in front of the husband, so the husband becomes repulsed. So the Chazdan said, don't eat so much food in front of your husband. And don't eat vegetables at night, because it's going to give you a bad breath. Don't eat dates at night. Also, it causes gas, and it's not proper in front of the husband. Don't drink beer at night. Also, it causes gas, and it causes shilshul. And do not relieve yourself in the same place where your husband relieves himself, because he might recognize that that was your place over there, and he might become repulsed as a result of it. And when somebody knocks on the door, don't say manu, don't say who is it in the masculine text, because that would not be modest, as if you're asking a man, who is it? Elamani. Say it in the female way, in order to be a little more modest, so that you shouldn't show that you're talking to men. And now, Rav Chazdan gave some advice in intimacy to his daughters when they are with the husbands. But the Gemara is going to say it in a very modest way, in order that it should not be Chas v'Shalom explicit. So he said literally, Nakit Marganita Behadayade, take the pearl in one hand, the kura, the kiln, that's like the oven that they make the things in, the kura behadayade, and the kiln in one hand. Marganita Avelehu, show him the pearl. But do not show him the kiln ad the mitzta'aran, until he is in pain, until he is in anguish. Then show it to him. What is this talking? So we'll just read the lashon of Rashi. Rashi says, "Nakit marganita b'chaday yadeh v'kura b'chaday yadeh, kishibalek memashmesh bich." When the husband is intimate with his wife, and he's before the tashmish itself to create a ta'ava, l'tashmish ve'ohez hadadim biyado achat ve'acheret ad oto makom. So he has his hand on the dadim, and the other hand he has be'oto makom. Margarita avile hadadim hamsiyulo, which is the dadim. He's telling his daughters, show it to the husband, in order to make his ta'ava stronger. But oto makom, the private part, don't reveal it right away. Maher, in order that his ta'ava will become, he'll yearn it.
Ve'hibbatov yitzta'er.
And why was he saying that? And then show it to him. Fit, which is show the marganit, the pearl, and then the kiln. Why? Because then the zera of the husband will be stronger, and therefore you'll have children. Because he's giving him an etzah in order to be marbeh, the zera, in order to have more children. Comes to Gemara and says, in shulin the karshidim. Okay, we said in the Mishnah that you do not soak the karshinim, that's the animal fodder, in order to separate it from its chaff. Maditin de loki hai tana. Mishnah is not following the tana. The tanya, because we have a bright that it has when Yaakov omer, en mashkihin bekebara kol ikar. According to this tana, you're allowed to put the fodder in any type of kebara, in any type of sieve or sifter. Where our Mishnah said you can't, this tana said you can't. So obviously our Mishnah is not following this tana. Comes to Mishnah and says, gorfin milifne hapetam. Now, we're talking about over here, you have a trough. Trough is where the animal eats. You have food in front of it, so you want to sweep the food in front of the trough, in front of the ox. Petam is an ox. So the Mishnah says, a ox that they usually stuff. They call it a fat, fattened ox, because they stuff it in order to make it fat. So therefore, it is permissible to sweep the trough because you want to fill it up with food. And sometimes there's rocks and there's pebbles and there's stones in there. So you want to clean it out in order to put the proper food in it. So you have to sweep. Again, gorfin, you can sweep. Melefnea patam, in front of the fattened ox. Umisalekin litstadin. And furthermore, it is permissible to move the straw, the hay, to the side so the animal does not defecate on it. Because if the animal is going to defecate on it, it's going to ruin it. So you don't want to ruin the food. So you could move it to the side. Vachamim, devrei Rabbi Dosa. Vachamim osrim. Hachamim say it's asur. What's asur? The Gemara will tell you. Notlin minifnei behemazu, venotlin minifnei behemazu b'shabbat. You're allowed to take food from one animal. He's eating. You can take it from one animal and give it to another animal. The Gemara is going to say, what's the hadush? Why not? I mean, he's eating it. I give it to one animal, to another. Gemara will explain. The rabbis say asur. What's asur? The Tanakh Kama said two things. Number one, it's permissible to sweep the trough. Number two, you could move the food on the side. Hakamim osrim. Hakamim osir sweeping. Hakamim osir moving, or are they osir both? Tashema. Detanya v'hakamim omrim ehadze lo yisalekenu listadim. Which means they osir both. Number one, you can't sweep the trap. And number two, you can't move the goods to the side. So they don't want you to do anything. The Gemara is going to explain. Amar Fazda machloket bevus shel karka. The machloket of sweeping is only talking about a trough that is on the ground. Meaning, imagine you have just a trough is like a box where they put food for the animal, right? Imagine the ground is the floor of the trough. So now what's going to happen when you sweep? Hakamim are concerned you might come to fill holes, because the ground has holes in it. And the deen of Ashvuye Gumot is Asur. So the Mahlokit is talking about what? Can you sweep a trough of karka? Tanakhava will tell you, Mutar, we don't worry about that you might come to fill in the holes. And Hakamim are going to tell you, Asur. Avad bebush shel keli, devra kol mutar. But if the floor of the trough is a piece of wood, so therefore even the Hachamim will tell you, mutar. Ve'evush shel karka mi'ika leman deshari. Gemara says, what? Are you going to tell me that a trough, that this floor is karka, somebody's going to tell me it's mutar? Can't be. Ve'hakamas ve'gumot. For sure you're going to come to, when you're sweeping it, you're going to come to fill in the holes, and he wants to fill in the holes. So comes the Gemara and says, you're right. Ela'i yitmar hachi yitmar. Amar ef hazda machloket be'evush shel keli. The machloket is even by a evus of a keli. Hakamim are going to say you can't sweep it. Why? Because if we let you sweep the keli, you might come to sweep the
karka.
I mean, they make a gezerah. Aba bebushel karka. That's the first case in the Mishnah. Ebushel keli mahloket. Ebushel karka devrei akol asur. Last point. Venotnim lefnei behema. You're able to take from one animal and give it to another animal. Tana. Tana hada. We have one Tanaic statement. Notlin milifne behema shepiha yafeh v'notim lifne behema shepiha ra. You could take food from an animal that has a good mouth and give it to an animal that has a bad mouth. V'tanya idach. We have another brayta that says notim lifne behema shepiha ra v'notim lifne behema shepiha yafeh. We have a brayta that's exact opposite. You could take from an animal that has a bad mouth and give it to an animal that has a good mouth. What are we talking about over here? Animal has a good mouth, animal has a bad mouth. What's the explanation? Amar Abaye, Idi v'idi. Both braytot are talking about mekame hamra lekame Torah shaklinan. You could take food of a hamor and give it to a ox. Mekame Torah lekame hamra lo shaklinan. But food of a ox to a donkey, you can't. That's the rule. Now we're going to explain the braytot. Bad mouth, good mouth. First, give you the rules. From a hamor to a shor, mutar. From a shor to a hamor, asur. That Gemara says. Ve'adik tan notem lifnei behema shepiha yafeh. B'hamor telet lelire. A hamor has a good mouth, meaning he doesn't drool. And therefore, the food that he eats does not become disgusting, therefore the shor will eat it. And therefore you can take food of a hamor, pick it up with a good mouth, and give it to the shor that has a bad mouth, because the shor, his saliva is all over the place. So therefore you can't give from the shor to the hamor, because the hamor is not going to eat it, because it's disgusting. And therefore you're exerting yourself for no reason. So comes the Gemara and says, "V'notim nifteh behema shepiara." Now, when it came along and said that you're able to take "V'notim nifteh behema shepiara," and you can give it to an animal, let's say, has a behema, bepara, diitle lire, for a cow, for example, that has saliva, you could take from the hamor piha yafeh and give it to the cow piha ra. Now we have to explain the other side. But you told me you can go from pihara to pihayafeh. What does that mean? So he says, "Ba'adik tani notim lefnei b'mashe pihara behamor delo dayik ve'achil." A hamor is not precise in what it eats. You put food in front of him, even if there's pebbles in it and there's stones and wood. He eats. He doesn't care. That's called pihara, meaning he's not careful what he eats. V'notim nifnei behema shepiha yafeh bepara dedayka ve'achla. A cow is called piha yafeh because it's careful in what it eats. But it's telling you the same thing. You take from a hamor and you give it to a para, but not the opposite. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.